So I was going to focus on today. I saw next door and on the notice board for what we need. There's a notice board that says what we need, and there's nothing written there except it's got love, compassion and care and a big smiley face. And I thought, yeah, that's always needed. And it's not only needed for others, we need it for ourselves too. And it reminded me that this is really a core aspect of the Dhamma. In fact, I call it the heart of Buddhism, is really this, what I would call kindness, really covers compassion, caring, all these things. And of course, the foundation of the Buddha's teaching is really non-harming, avihimsa, non-harming to others and to ourselves. And this is to all beings, any being, because we know that all beings, they want to live. They don't want to die, even no matter how inconvenient they are to us, you know, the ants, the mosquitoes and the cockroaches, all those. So it's very good to see this non-harming aspect as central, and to see really that at the defilements that take over our minds from time to time, whether it be desire, anger, aversion, fear, jealousy, delusion, big ego, all that stuff, that's really unkind. That is really harming us. But often we don't see that. we get caught up in it and we don't realise, yeah, this is really negative for me. And I like, I often mention when I'm talking about kindness, the Dalai Lama's famous quotation, "My religion is very simple. My religion is kindness." And I think that's such an important thing to keep in mind, because there are many aspects of the Dhamma, aren't there? A lot of deep aspects of the Dhamma. But if we're not practicing this kindness coming from a good place, we're not really practicing for our own benefit or for the others as well. And it's wonderful. The Dalai Lama's always got these very beautiful messages. I don't know if he makes them all up, because I see so many of them. I think he must be pretty busy. I've seen a calendar, just one quotation from the Dalai Lama for every day, and I think, how does he manage that? But some of them don't sound like what I'd expect him to say, actually. They're very good, but I don't think he writes them. But he always emphasises kindness, tolerance, patience and peace. And I think these are what compassion, isn't it? Compassion's a really big thing. So, and I think if we have kindness as our religion, we're going to be coming from a good place. And as I mentioned, the thing is, sometimes people might think, well, kindness is for others, but it really has to be first and foremost to ourselves and then to others. So this is important. And of course, if we're a kind person, genuinely kind person, not just putting it on, you know, just superficial kindness, if we are a kind person, it leads to our happiness. We really feel the benefit. We feel good about ourselves. So this is a very good indicator of how we are practicing the Noble Eightfold Path, is if we have got kindness in our minds. Because I think all of us know the second factor of the Noble Eightfold Path really is, focuses on, one big aspect of it is kindness. And I'll get back to that in a while. I think everybody doesn't need to know to have a definition of kindness, because we all have a fairly good idea of what kindness is. But in Buddhist terms, of course, it's metta, isn't it? That friendliness and that kindness, that warmth that we have for ourselves and for others. But it's also, as that quotation mentioned, it's compassion too. And I always think of compassion is taking care of ourselves and others as well. Sometimes people focus for compassion on others, but I think it's also quite valid to have care for ourselves too, because sometimes we're in a bad way. We're the ones that need this caring for. And if we can bring up a compassionate mind, a mind that is caring for ourselves, that can be very, very helpful. And of course, it's that sort of joyful aspect too of mudita, you know, the being happy for other people's the success, for their good qualities, just being happy for you, that's what I call it. It's a nice quality of mind And equanimity, of course, that sense of acceptance and balance, that things are like this at this moment. They don't have to be like this permanently, but they are like this at the moment, and then we deal with it in a kind way, a good way. So, and other aspects of it, patience and tolerance, like the Dalai Lama is emphasising too. And I always say with patience and tolerance, we can agree to disagree, and that's fine. There's no problem with that. I think it would be a miracle if everybody in the world agreed on something. That would just be unbelievable. It's not going to happen, because we're all coming from different points of view, from different views, all opinions, all these things. So it's never, there's never going to be a total agreement. And if we expect total agreement, wow, we're going to be waiting a while. And we should always have that patience and tolerance that accepts, you know, this is part of equanimity too, as I mentioned, acceptance of ourselves and others as we are at this moment. But keeping in mind, yeah, things can change. And of course, respect is also part of this kindness, respecting ourselves and respecting others, and respecting differences of opinion too, isn't it? And thoughtfulness, yeah, this is a big part of kindness too, actually thinking of others and going out of our way to help others. And it's really beautiful when you see that. I do see people who go out of their way to help. And as a monk, and you know, for monks and nuns, that's not uncommon. And the amazing thing is, then people, especially traditional Buddhists, say, thank you for the opportunity. It's fantastic. It really is good. And generosity is, of course, part of kindness, because you all know, you know, we're kind people. We often associate with people who give. And whether it's, you know, just their attention, listening, big thing is time, isn't it? But also, you know, just things like, you know, sharing food with each other, as we'll do today after this talk. That's a kindness, and it brings us together, and it dissolves any difficulties that, or reduces a lot of the difficulties we have in life. And I think all of us, and I think this is, hope to do a guided meditation towards the end a little bit anyway, all of us remember people who were so kind to us. And sometimes it can be our parents, but often I think grandparents have fit into that category, and uncles, aunts, but it can also be teachers, and they can be real role models, and also friends. And this kindness, we can really feel it. And the thing is with it, usually we remember them very, very well, a kind person. Because kindness, the first part of kindness is really accepting the person as they are, not judging them, which is a normal mode of interaction. So, and sometimes people say, well, is kindness just enough on its own? And of course, in the Buddha's teaching, no, it's got to come. It's got to come from the right view. It's got to come from the Noble Eightfold Path. So it has to be in the context of right view. And so this actually points us in the right direction, and it also points our intention or motivation in the right direction, where we're coming from. So this Noble Eightfold Path, and of course we... How do we develop kindness? I think all of you have probably got a pretty good idea, I think. But I'll go through a few tips anyway, a few things. Last week I mentioned, of course, first aspect is proper attention, yoniso manasikara, and ayoniso manasikara, improper attention or unwise attention. And this is just being aware of how our experience of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting and touching and thinking, whether it's bringing out positive emotions or negative emotions, and backing off when we see that the defilements, the negative emotions are coming up, we know, this is improper attention or unwise attention is another way of calling it, naming it. So this is an important aspect of it, of course. And of course that other aspect is hiriotapa. This is the sense, I call it sense of conscience and the consequences of our actions of body, speech and mind. And the Lord Buddha calls that, these two, conscience and the awareness of the consequences, the two great protectors of the world. So it's these are important qualities. But this week I'm just focusing really on kindness. And you might remember one of Ajahn Brahm's teachings about the peaceometer. And that's quite a nice teaching where he was talking about that we need to gauge how peaceful we are getting. And this is peaceful and alert. I've got to say that too, not peaceful and sleepy, but peaceful. And not only in meditation, but also in daily life. And I think this is a very nice idea, the peaceometer, you know, like the speedo on the car. You can see, you know, how fast you're going. Often people are not looking at it. And that's true of the peaceometer too. But I thought of a kindometer to see how much kind intention there is in my mind when I'm acting, speaking, and thinking too. Just to reflect. This is reflecting on ourselves. Last week I also talked about the power of reflection. And this is an aspect of the Satipatthana, the four focuses of mindfulness, that's what we're calling it, four focuses of mindfulness, Dhammanupassana, looking at what's coming up in the mind from the perspective of the Buddha's teaching and seeing if it is a defilement that's coming up, we're aware of it, or something positive. And of course, the kindometer is looking at how kind we are, but also mindful at the same time. Mindfulness and kindness come together. Kindfulness, that's quite a nice thing. So these are always very useful things to ask ourselves, where where am I coming from when I act and think? And last week I also mentioned that teaching that the Lord Buddha gave to his son, Venerable Rahula, when he was 7 years old. And he said there, of course, that we should reflect before we act, before we speak, and before we... I don't know how you can do it before we think, but while we're thinking, I think, is part of it. You know, whether this is harmful or beneficial for myself, for others, or both. Of course, if it's harmful for us, or harmful for others, or for both, don't go there. And of course, if it's beneficial for ourselves, that's good. But if it's beneficial for others as well, for both, that's even better. And also to see where it's coming from, which is what we're discussing, I'm discussing today. The motivation, is it wholesome or unwholesome? You know, what sort of intention is driving what I'm doing and what I'm saying and also what I'm thinking? And the last one is a really thorough check-up, this one, is to check up on the results of one's action, speech and thought too. What's it leading to? Is it leading to painful consequences, or is it leading to pleasant consequences? Is it leading to negative states of mind increasing or decreasing and vanishing? So this is very... a really important checklist. I think it's the best. So clear and a very good basis for ethical behaviour, actually. Really, really good. And, of course, now, in the same way, we have a checklist at the monastery for the fire season. We have the fire season at the moment. It's still happening. You may not believe this. I am the chief fire warden. I laugh when I think about that. But we have a checklist of things you have to do, you know, when there is an emergency evacuation. And we haven't had an emergency evacuation, but we do fire drills and all this sort of thing. But you have to have a real clear checklist so that you can just go into action, because at those times one can easily forget things and panic and so forth. So, but it's good to have a checklist too, I was thinking, of whether we're being kind or unkind. Or friendly or unfriendly, tolerant and respectful, or the opposite. and whether what we're doing and speaking and thinking is leading to harmony or disharmony. And of course that's... and whether it's leading to peace or it's leading to the opposite of peace, turmoil, or... and whether it's wise or foolish. It's always difficult to think, difficult to recognise when we're being foolish. But it does happen. I think we all recognise that, usually later, actually. And most of that's coming from a sense of ego and self often. That makes it very, very difficult. And so these are aspects, checklists that we can have. And so this is they're very important that we do. And of course, the main one, and it was the second aspect of Venerable Rahula, the teaching to Venerable Rahula, the motivation or intention is the second factor of the Noble Eightfold Path. So it's really important. And I often say to people, it's hard to know if we have right view. There is one good test of right view. What do you think that is? Very easy. If you... That's right. That is definitely it. And having realised it or seen it, that's the first breakthrough, will be stream entry, isn't it? Sotapanna, sotapatti, or in Sinhala, soan. Then a person has right view, then they see correctly. If we're not, haven't experienced the first stage of awakening, of enlightenment, it probably means our view is not perfect yet. Maybe getting there. But this is important because from that our intentions come. If we don't believe in karma, then of course we can do and say, we can do, speak, and think in very negative ways and think, well, no, it's okay, no consequences. But of course, coming from right view, we know, yep, there are consequences of how we are motivated, how we intend to act. So it's really a key. And, you know, oftentimes people ask me, well, you know, how can you see how much progress you've made on the path? You know, and it's very difficult, isn't it? But I say this, checking up on our intention is a very good way of checking up, seeing how much progress we have made. Are we looking, and the three ways you can look at that is, are we looking for happiness inside? This is what I call looking for happiness in the right place. Most people are still looking out there, of course, you know, because the world is very, what we're used to, and it's also very attractive is trying to attract our attention. And the second aspect is, of course, how much kindness we've developed. And the third is how much caring, how much gentleness, how much non-harming have we developed in our practice. So this is how we can gauge whether we are developing in a good direction, because this is how we practice the Noble Eightfold Path. We need to practice it with this sense of, they call it renunciation, looking for happiness within, not looking for our happiness from the senses, and looking and being kind to ourselves, to others, and not harming ourselves or others, being caring, compassionate, forgiving. that's a big quality. And if our intention or motivation isn't correct, of course the rest of the path goes in the wrong direction too. We can, you know, think lying is all right. We can think, you know, dividing people, divisive speech is okay. And we can think harsh speech or rough speech is okay. And also we can get into gossip. And then from that, of course, we can have actions like, our actions become wrong, like we can start killing living beings, we can steal and also have sexual misconduct. And then the livelihood can go wrong. We can have no harm, you know, doing, selling weapons. I'm not killing anybody. I just sell the weapons to them, but that idea. And then from that, of course, we can have wrong, we call it wrong effort, so we're not really reducing our negative qualities and increasing our positive qualities. And from that too, then we get wrong samadhi. We can start focusing our minds on negative qualities. And of course, in history, you can see that politicians have often manipulated people for that purpose. you know, focusing them on negative qualities, particularly fear. So this is where it's so important, this is where it's so crucial to know our intention and motivation and develop the right or the good intentions and motivations. And of course, Ajahn Brahm has he's got this little motto, and you can probably, there are T-shirts, maybe even here today, and it's got let go, be kind, and be gentle. And that is the three right intentions, or he calls them the right motivations, where we're coming from. And as I mentioned, you know, this renunciation, just to give a little bit more to it, is central because if we're looking for our happiness out there, we're not going to look in here. If we look out there, this is the way of the world. This is the worldly conditions. That's what we'll see. We'll be looking for gain. We'll be looking for some sort of recognition in terms of fame or status. We'll be looking for praise, and we'll look for pleasure. But everyone who's gone that way always finds this is not really satisfactory. It doesn't really feed us within. And of course, that's because we have to look in the opposite direction within ourselves. And this is where, actually, of course, we all know it, our experience of the world is coming from. You know, if we have a good mind, a good heart, the world doesn't look too bad. And of course, we can deal with things much, much better that are negative. But if we have a very negative mind state, wow, then things look really bad. And of course, people often say to me, I see it myself too, you know, reading the news and all this sort of thing, wow, it can make you, you know, it can affect the mind. And if you're already coming from a negative space, then it looks even blacker. So this is where our world is coming from. And I mentioned that last week, that we are the centre of the universe. Our universe. It's not the objective universe. And so when we look within, this is where the spiritual path is. It's not out there. It's in here. This is, and I read, I think last week, no, when I did the Noble Eightfold Path, I was talking about that for New Year's Day, and the Lord Buddha says that the Noble Eightfold Path is within. And this is where we practice it, within here. So this is why this nekama, this renunciation you hear so much about, is so important. And everybody, of course, in traditional Buddhist countries, we talk about the maha nekama. And I think everybody knows what that is. And of course, that's when the bodhisattva left the palace. He turned away from that because he realised this wasn't taking him where he needed to go. This was not satisfying. This was not enough, even though he had all the comforts, all the pleasures that a person could have, because he was, in some traditions, a prince, so he had everything that he could wish for. So that's the first aspect of right motivation that we need to keep in mind. And I think all of you have some of this already. You've come here today, you think it's worthwhile to come here today. You're not at Chadston or watching, I don't know if there's any sport on or concerts on, I'm sure there are. You're not there. And so you're seeing the importance of looking within, looking at a spiritual teaching that can actually take us to that inner happiness, the source of happiness within. So that's nekama. And of course, the second aspect, avyapada, and this is non-ill will, but this is really big part of it, is metta, or this kindness, this friendliness, this caring. This is central to our experience as human beings, to develop the spiritual path. Because if you're looking within and you're not kind to yourself, wow, that's difficult. But if you're kind to yourself, then you can go within. Then there's not that fear of the unknown. So often we're not comfortable with who we are we? And this is one of the big problems of humanity, I think I mentioned last week too. So this kindness is so important in the spiritual path, to be kind to ourselves and also to practice it with others as well through our speech and actions. So it covers a lot of the positive qualities I already mentioned, you know, like patience, that's kanti, we call it in Pali, thankfulness and all these. And the last aspect of the three right motivations is, of course, non-harming. And this is avihimsa. And this is really compassion, helping people, gentleness, soft kindness, gentleness, always kindness there, and respect. And realizing, too, that all beings want to be happy. You know, no matter what they're doing or saying, they all beings have, or how annoying those beings can be, especially if they're ants or mosquitoes or cockroaches. So keeping that in mind, not to harm oneself or others, that's very important, always to apply it to ourselves too. So those, and I think a very practical teaching the Lord Buddha gives on how to develop this kindness in our lives. It comes in a wonderful sutta, which is called, doesn't sound very promising, Imperfections, and Imperfection Sutta in the Majjhima Nikaya. It's 128. And it came after this sutta follows on from a very, very big dispute that occurred at Kosambi. That's it. I was talking to Rohan yesterday, it's Kosambi, I remember it actually. And where the monks became totally divided, this group of monks living in a monastery, over a very small rule in the monks, amongst the monks' rules. And the monk who was responsible for the vinaya, the rules, was in opposition to the monk who taught Dhamma. And they had this big split. And the Lord Buddha, he spoke to them. And, of course, he tried to bring them together. And they eventually said to him, please, Venerable Sir, may you have a pleasant abiding, which means please go and just meditate, forget about it. And then, of course, we have those famous verses from the Dhammapada that are in the Dhammapada. They're in another sutta too, the Kosambi Sutta, and about, you know, that hatred is not ended by hatred, and hatred... and peace is, and the only way to peace is the abandoning of hatred. So this is the background to when he comes after, immediately after that, he quietly, he went for the alms round, had his food, packed his things and left, and went to live for 3 months of the rains retreat in a forest, the Pariyekala forest. And on his way, this is where he met these monks. And he asked these monks, he said, and there's three of them living together. And he said, I hope, Anuruddha, that you are all living in concord. Well, no. After his experience in Kosambi, with mutual appreciation, without disputing, blending like milk and water, viewing each other with kindly eyes. So obviously that's coming from his just recent experience at Kosambi, where they say the monks were throwing verbal daggers at each other. They were, you know, really overcome by this division and views. It's views, really. And then Anuruddha, who is a very senior monk in the Buddha's teaching, became an arahant. He said, surely, Venerable Sir. And then and the Buddha, being very practical as a teacher, said, but how do you live, you know, in concord like this? And he says, well, Venerable Sir, as to that, I think thus, it is a gain for me, it is a great gain for me that I'm living with such companions in the holy life, the spiritual life. I maintain bodily acts of loving kindness towards these venerable ones, both openly and privately. I maintain verbal acts of loving kindness towards them, both openly and privately. I maintain mental acts of loving kindness towards them, both openly and privately. I consider, why should I not set aside what I wish to do and do what these venerable ones wish to do? then I set aside what I wish to do and do what these venerable ones wish to do. We are different in body, venerable sir, but one in mind. Isn't that beautiful? I think it's a lovely, wonderful description of how we can live in harmony, how we can develop kindness, really. And it's very, very simple, isn't it? Really, through our actions, through body, and through our speech, pretty obvious. That's a biggie. You know, that's the one that causes a lot of the problems and can be very unkind. And particularly through our thoughts and through our feelings. And this, of course, is where we develop metta for, and when we do metta meditation, when we are developing the mind, we are bringing up this feeling of kindness in the mind and developing it, reconditioning the mind, making it a quality that is part and parcel of who we think we are, our character, our personality. So this is very, very important. But if we only, and sometimes people think, I do a lot of metta meditation, but maybe the speech and actions is not very kind. This is not enough, because we take that into our lives through our action and our speech. And that's where we can deepen, we can grow more metta, more kindness, more friendliness through our speech and action. So I think that is such an important... I was going to go into more detail about that, but maybe I'll give another talk on metta another time. And just we can have a short... Yeah, it will be short. Metta meditation. So if we like to just feel comfy, it'll be about five, won't be long actually, it'll just 5 minutes or so, because it's now 10:20, so. And we can just come into the present moment and let the past and the future be, close the eyes, and we can just get in contact with the body, see if it needs any adjusting. The shoulders may need a little bit of moving to relax them, whatever it is. And then mentally relaxing the body with this warm, kind attention, like a mental massage from the top of the head to the tips of the toes. Giving this warm, healing attention to any areas that are particularly sore, uncomfortable, or painful, with this warm, relaxing, soothing attention from the top of the head to the toes. And we can bring to mind the intention to bring up this feeling of kindness or friendliness in our hearts and minds. And we can do that by bringing to mind someone who has been very kind to us in the past, someone that immediately we get this feeling of kindness about. It may even be a pet, or it could be something else as well. We can think of the qualities of what a best friend is like. Bringing to mind someone, or a pet, or something else, or the qualities of a best friend, someone we feel close to, comfortable with, enjoy being with, so friendly, and someone who is there in difficult times. And we can get in touch with whatever feeling comes up for us, whether it's this warm, friendly, kind feeling. Using these, remembering these people and so on, as a way to ignite this feeling of kindness, warmth, friendliness. And we can give this feeling to our minds and hearts, to any difficult emotions that we may have, or tiredness, irritation, whatever negative emotion we may have. Give this warm kindness of metta, acceptance. And now we can give this warmth of metta, of friendliness, kindness, acceptance to the body, just like we did when we did the scan from the top of the head to the tips of the toes. Filling the body with this warm, kind, friendly feeling. And when we become aware of the breath coming in and going out, we can breathe in this feeling of warmth, friendliness, kindness, acceptance, and breathe it out to the world. Breathing in, being our own best friend, and breathing out, being the best friend of the whole world. Breathing it in and breathing it out. And if our minds wander off, we can just remember what brought up these feelings originally, and to breathe that in, being our own best friend, and then breathing it out, being the best friend of every being in the world, all beings. Now, as we're coming close to the end of the meditation, we can spread whatever feeling we experienced, this feeling of being our own best friend or the best friend of others. We can spread that to everyone here, share it with everyone here in this hall, watching or this live streaming. And we can spread it further and further afield in ever widening circles to cover the whole world and all realms of existence. All beings, human beings, animals, unseen beings, insects, whatever beings, whether we like them or not, unconditionally, being their best friend. And now we can come back to ourselves and just reflect for a moment on how we feel now, what worked well, what caused these feelings to come up. Did we experience these feelings of kindness, friendliness, warmth, acceptance, or not? And we can end the meditation by having the aspiration, the intention to develop more of this metta, this kindness, friendliness towards ourselves and others, not only in our thoughts and feelings, but in our actions and our words. And we can anchor this feeling of metta, friendliness, kindness, in the heart. And now we can slowly come out of the meditation and open our eyes. So this, I hope it gave you a little bit of a taste, or this is the approach that I use, and whatever works to bring up this feeling of metta. Sometimes people use words, of course, and we have, you know, may I be happy and well, and may I be free of suffering, may all beings be happy and well and free from suffering. That can work, but after a time it can reduce. So find something that works for you, whether it be words, whether it be images, or a concept like I just used, being your own best friend. And oftentimes it's just an example of whatever emotion you are aiming to bring up, to connect with somebody that you associate with that feeling. Like if you think of someone who's kind, it's really easy to bring up that kindness, that feeling of kindness. So this can really be like the starter for the fire of metta. When, you know, you use small pieces of wood and twigs and leaves and some, say, paper, this could start the metta, and it can become very, very strong. And of course, metta is, kindness is very, very useful for the difficult states of mind we experience. If we can have that kindness to them, rather than the usual reaction we have is, get out of here. I don't want to feel angry. I don't want to feel depressed. I don't want to feel anxious. It doesn't work. You can try it. Many people have tried it. It's adding a negative to a negative, so it doesn't work. But a positive emotion like metta, acceptance, can allow it to calm down and dissolve. So this is like a medicine we can use. And as I mentioned, we can use it in the meditation. You saw, for the body, for the mind, and for the breath. And for the, can use it for the present moment too. So this is something we need, really the message is, and this is the message of the Buddha's teaching, something we need to develop 24/7. This kindness, this caring, this, what was it said on the board? Love, compassion, care, and a smiley face. Smiley face is the way we can communicate it, actually. So that is the talk for this morning, and I just finish off with so we can remember, if you can remember the kindness-o-meter, and to just to gauge how much kindness there is in our actions, thoughts, and speech, and also see that this is leading to our spiritual development, and that it's not so much what we achieve. Often people are aiming at attaining this and that jhanas, this insight knowledge, that stage of awakening. It's not so much what we aim at as how we go. It's the journey that's more important than the destination. The journey is the destination, actually. The way we live our lives is the destination. So we can remember Ajahn Brahm's little motto, let go, be kind and be gentle. It's quite a good sort of, sticks in the mind, doesn't it? And I think it works. And I'd like to finish with the Dalai Lama. I started with him, which was, He says, be kind whenever possible. And then he says, it's always possible. And especially to be kind to ourselves and hence to others as well. All right, so I'd like to finish the talk there. Thank you for listening. And now I'm ready for the complaints, the comments and the questions. I did actually have a complaint once when I did a guided meta meditation. And the person said they felt irritated and annoyed. I said, wow, it didn't work for you. And he was actually, it turned out, the reason he was irritated and annoyed, he liked silent meditations, not guided meditations. So he found the speaking, annoying and irritating. That was the reason. So there we are. All right, so anyone who has a question, you're welcome to ask questions, comments, or as I say, complaints.
Jen, I have a question. This is not an online question. Mm. You talked about working through the checklist.
Yes.
And I find difficulty sometimes when working through the checklist.
Yeah.
Or if I give an example, if I'm in a conversation, in an open dialogue with someone, even if it's a neutral conversation, the best thing I can possibly do is to give them my attention.
Yeah.
And when I find that while I'm in the conversation, my attention can just go off. You know, I'm talking to myself, I'm thinking about how I'm going to respond.
Yeah.
But if I work through the checklist, my attention will just collapse.
Right, you know? I see what you mean. You're busy on the checklist.
About, I just find that really difficult from a practical sense. Unless there's there isn't usually the luxury of having to, you know, at the end of that, there's a pause of 10 seconds or so when I can respond. I don't always have that luxury.
No. I agree. You know, sometimes these checklists are very helpful, but they're more helpful beforehand, keeping the mind sort of in a particular direction, or the speech or the actions in a particular direction. But I find, and I think this is not unusual for people, Ikema used to talk about it quite a bit too, we can tell when the mind turns to being unkind. There's a feeling that goes with it. You don't need to say, oh, this is unkind. You can really feel it, or you feel like a sort of a darkness comes over, or we experience it in different ways, but we can pick up while we're, say, paying attention to someone whether that's happening, you know. And we can be, if we're aware of it, we don't have to come from it. That's the important thing. And of course, you're right, you know, when we are with people, if we're giving attention to them, you know, paying attention to them and not thinking how we're going to respond or judging them or whatever, then we, very difficult to have this checklist, but we can experience the feelings that come up, which is why this sama sankapa, right motivation, right intent, is such a good indicator of where we're at in the moment, in our lives, in our practice, the spiritual practice. So I would just say, you know, you can just be aware if a negative feeling, however you feel it, whether it's sort of like a darkness, a heaviness, a pressure, comes up while you're, you know, interacting with a situation, with a person, with a situation, with yourself, then you can be aware that, something is going in a negative direction. And that's enough to just, not be careful not to respond from that negative place without having named it and identified it. I agree, it makes it, you know, if we sit there with a checklist and everything, conversations will be pretty slow and we won't get much out of what the other, what did you say? You know, it'll be like that. So I think that's the way I tend to monitor. The monitoring can be done real time by our own feelings. And as I mentioned, feeling is a very good indicator of where we're at, where the mind is at. And if it's in a negative direction, hang on, wait. won't come from that. Just, you know, bring up more kindness, the feeling of kindness to people. Because that's the feelings actually, they don't need a lot of thinking to support them. And you see people who are very kind and they're obviously not thinking about it and all that. Which is why when we do the metta meditation, it's the feeling that's so important, not words. You know, the words are a support. Images can be a support. Concepts can be a support. And so this is what we are aiming at, the feeling. And we can use that in our practice too, as indicators. Yeah, on the kindometer. Oh, there we are. There's someone there. Oh, yes, have a look. Katerina, that's right.
Yeah. Yes. I also have a hard time with metta meditation. I also find it really difficult, but
really?
not because of your voice. I actually want you to talk more.
Yeah, right.
But because sometimes I feel like I need like a step before I can go straight to loving kindness. I need that step to get to neutral.
Yeah.
So it's not all projecting ill will and anger. But then I can get on top of that. So I just and I try and do that myself. It means switching off a bit, but I just there's like, is there something that I can do? The first rung of the ladder, because going to loving kindness sometimes is doesn't happen.
Yeah, no, I think
if that makes sense.
That is, I think, for everyone, and you're not alone. Many people say that, and I hear it particularly from men. You know, and I think some of it is because of, you know, when we use terminology like loving kindness, this is Buddhist speak, it sounds like something different from, you know, what people normally experience. But kindness is actually a very common emotion that people can relate to. Friendliness is an emotion that they can relate to. And of course, metta is related in Pali, is related to the word mitta, which is friend, like Kalyana Mitta or Mitra. And so it's something we are familiar with. And the way we can start the metta is very important. That's why I suggested at the beginning of the guided meditation, bring someone to mind who really can bring that up for you. That's, to me, is an easy one, you know, because I can think of people who have been very kind. Immediately I think of them, then that sort of kindness starts to echo in me. We're sort of getting, that's how we're kindling the fire, you say, starting the fire, is by using somebody or, you know, using a pet or something like that. I was at the dog park yesterday for a walk in the afternoon, and I see how much caring and kindness, love people have towards their pets and how open they are once they, you know, they're at the dog park. And, you know, because of that pet. And so sometimes pets can be very much easy because they don't talk back. They don't argue with us and all this sort of stuff. And they're very forgiving. That's the amazing thing about, especially dogs, I think. Good grief, they're amazing how they can forgive. So to use something like that, it can be a very easy way to start metta for me. Ajahn Brahm, of course, is famous for the kitten. He's well known for the kitten, you know, but not everybody has that sort of feeling towards kittens, so I don't know how that works for some people. But I remember he said too that at one retreat, one woman, I think she said, well, I don't relate to babies at all or pets, no, but I do care about the plants. She likes looking after the plants. She's got that nurturing feeling with plants and that kindness with the plants. So it's really whatever works for you. This is one of the criteria that Ayakema would often mention. It brings it up for you. But these concepts like best friend is quite a good one. It can be like a parent's love for their child. Or it can be lots of different approaches. Visualization, like having this is from Ayakema, the sun in the heart. And the sun has this warmth and light that fills the body and the mind with metta, with this kindness, this care, this gentleness, this friendliness. So, you know, you can use lots of approaches, words, images, concepts, and the main thing is to access the feeling. So for all of us, it's really, you know, just to experiment, to see what brings up that feeling. Once you find, you know, someone that brings that up for you, it's very easy then. You've really started it going. But as the hard bit is getting to the start, bringing up that feeling in the heart. And it has to be genuine. Sometimes people think, when we do these metta meditation, are you pretending? They do. They say that. And because they haven't got the idea. They have the idea that they're like whatever they think. I'm not a kind person. I'm not this type of person. I'm not that type. It doesn't matter what sort of person you think you are. The mind, you can work with it. It doesn't belong to us, actually. That's pretty challenging in itself. But we can work with it, we can influence it, we can develop it. It's not set in concrete. But people tend to think, well, I'm like this, and so I can't do a metta meditation. This metta meditation won't work. It's pretending because I'm really not like that. But that's not the case. These minds are quite workable with.
The last time you did the metta meditation, yeah. I had to get a whole farm of baby animals. That was the only. Or a whole farm was like bunny rabbits and baby lambs.
Yeah,
no, then I could get it.
Right. No, whatever works, I think, is good. It brings out that warm feeling of friendliness, kindness, acceptance, non-judgmentalness. So thank you for that. And I think we have to have one online one, surely. Before we finish, I think we should finish soon.
Thank you, Ajahn. Yeah. There is one online question. In fact, there's two. I'm just going to paraphrase here. But when one lives a life of solitude without much social interaction and there's peace with that, there is people around me that feel neglected.
Yeah.
Is that harmful?
I see. Because of developing the solitude oneself, is one neglecting other people? Ah, that's interesting, yeah. I think people can have that idea, but if we're developing solitude in the right way, it should be, as long as it's coming in, we're doing it in a friendly way, a kind way, we're not saying to them, keep out. Didn't you see the sign on the door? That sort of thing. And sometimes people, they do, even at home. And I've heard of practitioners that say, no, I tell my family, don't speak to me. It's not very friendly. It's not the ideal way to develop solitude. And of course, they won't appreciate it. They will feel neglected. So really, one has to do it with a lot of kindness and caring and sensitivity for. And balance too. If we're living a lay life and developing seclusion in the home life, that is quite difficult. And if we try and do it too forcefully, I think it might be difficult for oneself, but also difficult for the partner or the family as well. So it's ideally times of seclusion. Great meditation retreats and those sorts of occasions, or. Ordaining as a monastic. Then one can do it big time, like I did in Sri Lanka. And then, you know, when you live on your own, as I often mention, then metta, kindness, friendliness to yourself is very important. Very important because, as I say, you've got no one else to blame. But people tend to anyway, the weather or the monkeys or something, they'll blame something. But in actual fact, when you spend time on your own, this is where you need a lot of kindness and metta. When you're going within, you know, you do need this gentle, kind, caring and friendly emotion. So that's what I'd say to this person, to do it in a seek seclusion at the appropriate times and in a good way. You know, if you're saying, back off, I want my seclusion, you know, or this is my day where I'm secluded, you know, this is probably not the best way to do it because it'll echo in the meditation anyway, you know, because people tend to think, oh, no, they're always doing that. They're really bugging me when I should be, you know, they know I'm meditating. And then your meditation full of what? Aversion. Great. It's not going to be good for the meditation one bit. So we have to live our lives skillfully and then that seclusion will be beneficial. And we can go deeper. So thank you for that question. That's an interesting one, seclusion. Very good. So now we can, I think we can invite you to come over for the shared meal. And there's an announcement from Yasmin. You got the... Oh, yeah.
I just enjoy your reflection on at the end now today.
Yeah.
A reflection on universal well-being, Bhante.
Yeah.
If yes, you could, if I may humbly ask Bhante.
Oh, right. Universal.
You know that may I abide in well-being.
Oh, right. Oh, yes, that. Yes, please. Yes, my. That's quite good. I was thinking you wanted me to just talk about the Metta Sutra. I thought, no. Yes, I can just give a little chant that I do. And it's from the Buddha's words, actually. And it's a lovely chant that is the chant of Metta, too. Because when we spread metta, sometimes, and this may work for you, Katrina, too, there's two modes you can spread it in. The positive, cuddly mode of, wishing happiness and warmth and well-being and all these things for the person. But metta is also wishing people, ourselves too, to be free from depression, anger, rage, anxiety. These are all, that wish is a wish of well-being, of friendliness, kindness. That's a wish of metta. So sometimes if you find it hard to develop it in the positive mode, start in the negative mode, for yourself and for other beings. May I be free of this grumpiness, this irritation, annoyance, whatever. Just wishing for those things to reduce and, if possible, go. So, yeah. But you have to have, when I say that, it's not with a sense of aversion. That doesn't work. Get out of here. But, just that well-wishing is lovely. It can be done in either mode. So I'll just do that chant. Yeah, that's true. It's a very good, very fitting end. Thank you, Yasmin. There we are. May you abide in well-being, in freedom from affliction, in freedom from hostility, in freedom from ill will, in freedom from anxiety, and may you maintain well-being in yourselves. May everyone abide in well-being, in freedom from affliction, in freedom from hostility, in freedom from ill will, in freedom from anxiety, and may they maintain well-being in themselves. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. So that makes a nice ending to it. So, as I said before, I invite you to come over for the shared meal. And for those who wish to, we can pay respects to the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha, just to finish off where this all came from.